It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
As we start, Bulldog admiring the flag of Kiribati here as the Olympics are on, which I love. I love the Olympics.
Who doesn't love the Olympics?
I think a lot of people like to not love the Olympics.
Yeah?
I think it's something, like, I have friends who are sort of like, they're excited to tell you how much they don't like it.
Like, what, the coverage?
No, or it's just not.
Just the
you know, they're just USA, USA guys. And maybe somehow, even though the Olympics does provide that opportunity for, you know, I think patriotic rooting.
That'll be there.
It's just a little too French for them, I think, probably. Or Japanese, or whatever it is.
There was a lot of French happening when I turned this on. It was the most French thing that ever Frenched.
I think so, too, yes.
I don't know if I could say that.
Which I love.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
It's fantastic.
This French
scene. I got here, strangely, usually get here before me, but I got here ahead of you today and came in. The TV, which has been pretty hassle-free for quite a while, was a bit of a struggle. And I was not thinking about, I knew much earlier in the day, I thought about the opening ceremonies, and I got wrapped up doing some stuff. I got here and just out of habit went like, okay, where's the golf?
Right.
And I turned the golf on and I'm looking at it and I hadn't even logged on to Twitter yet. Or excuse me, X.
X.
And I went, oh my gosh, the opening ceremonies are on. And just as I turned it on, French heavy metal band Gojira was just lighting things on fire. And it was stunning. It was really, really something.
Good stunning.
Good stunning. Yes. Really, really good. I'm 100% confident that NBC, when they re-air this later tonight, will not skip over that. Like, it was.
Oh, good.
It was.
I thought you were going to say they were going to
my friends and I were, I got some friends that are really into this band, and they
Gojira?
Were. Gojira. Okay. Yes. It's Godzilla's older brother.
Okay.
Anyway.
I was going to say Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, not Elvira.
Our text thread featured some, they won't even show us Gojira on NBC. We'll get some feature about some javelin thrower or something. But it was there, and the reactions of the announcers, they were just like blown away by it, and there's no way it won't be on tonight. So
nice.
Keep an eye out for that. I don't know what sort of timeline it'll be on, because this thing's been going on for quite a few hours, I think. Noon?
1:30.
Oh, 1:30. Okay, thank you. Coverage started at noon, but the parade actually started at 1:30.
I went looking for it before 10. I was ready for some Olympics just to look at it very early this morning. I found tape delayed. You know, maybe even from yesterday, women's soccer, some rugby was on this morning. But 12 noon, like, I was in my seat.
Yeah.
For the 90-minute pregame, I guess.
Right.
Before the boats started to travel up or down the Seine. And it's very different from any other.
Yeah.
Like, the ceremonies are always one huge stadium and all kinds of singing and dancing and shows and everything in the middle of the athletes. But, you know, you have some of these scenes, like, you just don't see anybody in the background. as the boats are going along the river here, just the people, the athletes in the boats.
Yeah.
It's different, but excellent.
My one of my friends who's a big fan of Gojira just texted me and said, the show has never sounded younger.
Yeah, I bet. And naturally, I have nothing to say about Gojira, other than a reference to Elvira, which there's no connection at all. And, I mean, that, the show went back in time quickly when I mentioned Elvira.
We're just we're making do.
I'm playing hurt. So,
oh no! What happened to you?
I should make excuses, but cut my finger.
That's a band.
Just a Band-Aid on my knuckle.
There is a Band-Aid.
There is a Band-Aid.
Oftentimes you exaggerate these things, and you'll show me. You're like holding up your finger, like what?
Yeah. Well, that's basically this.
Well, still, you got a Band-Aid. I mean, that signifies some degree of wound.
I have a phobia.
Some degree of wound.
Hashtag
perhaps
some degree of
fantasy
wound.
Football team name.
I have a phobia that goes back to when I was in high school, opening cans. Like they have that little tab, like a can of beans or something.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always sort of a little bit worried that I'm going to cut my finger, mm-hmm. because before a tennis match, I was playing in the Grand Island tournament, and I was mixed doubles with my friend Laura, and we were. I was excited to like play with her and to do this. And so we met at the courts one evening and I sliced my middle finger open, opening the can of balls. You know how you can do that?
Yeah.
And like we didn't even play because of it. Like it was just bad.
Oof.
So ever since then, like I'm just a little bit nervous opening, you know, any dumb can of beans or anything. So today I got today. Yes, refried beans.
It's interesting. The ones with the tab, I've never had a trouble with, but the ones you got to use the can opener on, like a can of tuna. Is it time to ask why we don't get tabs on the can?
The tabs are way more dangerous.
You think so?
Well, I mean, the can opener, you just go all the way around and then you pick out the lid.
But you almost always with a can of tuna fish, there's one little hitch that you don't get. So then you got to like dig your fingers in there and try to twist it
over and over and over.
Yeah, and like that's where the danger comes.
Well,
the tab is clean. Like I'm like, and like pop, it comes right off.
Well, you know, usually.
Yeah.
This can of refried beans.
You're not as skilled as
which
me.
It's everything's stuck to the can. It's not like a can of black beans.
Sure. You gotta go in there with a spatula to get that crap.
I'm in there
out
with
there.
This. I only open the lid like three quarters of the way. Then I'm in there with the spatula, and it was tough. It was tough. Sliced my finger, you know, just. I even flicked some of the beans onto my foot. And, you know, like I had three or four things going. I did a taco bar for my family. So I've got three or four things going, and I forgot that
you had bean
I had refried beans had
bean
stuck to my big toenail. So I took Margo outside. And, you know, this is a dog. She'll eat the grass. She loves to eat grass. She loves to eat tissues.
She's going in on your toe.
Nothing.
Really? Huh.
I mean, I even stuck my foot up into her face so she could see, make sure that she knew that there was food that she could eat off of my foot.
It's a very little dog, and it's probably for the best that she did not get any of those refried beans.
My wife was very relieved when she saw what was happening. She's like, do not feed Margo the beans. It's bad enough. It's bad enough right now. No beans off your foot.
You.
No foot beans for Margo. All right? No foot beans.
Kirsten let Fred have ham once, and we're all still recovering. I mean, it was just like, there was a green cloud following that dog around for 2 days.
Well,
ham.
Happy Friday.
Not a good play. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Happy Friday,
everyone. Happy Friday. Happy Olympics. Happy Olympics opening ceremonies.
Sal coming up in 20 minutes. Theo Greminger, Fantasy Football Today, Fantasy Friday. I have a question. I'm really asking this. So, here we are, we're talking about the Bills every day, you know, year round. And I have an instinct, I'm sure you do too, not to be repetitive. But, you know, a lot of times we're having the same conversations, wide receivers and, you know, the AFC East, the schedule, all the different things. And today I had the thought, you know, maybe the Bills are good value for the Super Bowl. Maybe they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I thought about that, and it sort of struck me that I thought that because, you know, like, especially in here, lately I've been kind of the other way. For the last month or so, or 2 weeks at least, thinking about the Jets and just the schedule's hard. I have not thought about the Bills recently this way as like good value to win win a championship. But I don't know, for some reason today I did. And I couldn't tell you why. There wasn't anything that happened. It wasn't that Josh Allen got intercepted three times. It wasn't anything that happened at practice. It's possible that Peyton Manning being on Olympic coverage had something to do with this. Because sure. The Peyton Manning point is his teams were always, they were just kind of written off. They were really good, but you know they were flawed because they couldn't beat New England. And they did. I think that might be it, actually. Maybe I thought about Peyton Manning, and somehow it turned me around on the Bills. I just wonder like how consistent you would say you are, or anybody would say they are about this season. Not everybody's, well, you know, we have this special thing where we are like obligated. We're talking about them for a job. But any fan could be doing the same thing every day.
Yeah.
And I wonder just sort of how consistent are your thoughts? Do you understand what I'm asking?
You mean as like year over year or no, just like this year? Do I feel good? Do I feel bad?
Day to day.
Yeah, right. I still think they're a Super Bowl contender. So if the odds are better this year than they have been, I would be attracted to that. Like I would probably want to bet it. But you know, day to day, you know, sure. I mean, we're like you said, we're required to ask the questions about what we think people are talking about, what they're concerned about. And there is reason to have real concern, I think, about their receiving core, about their pass rush. You can get to the safeties if you want to. I'm not that worried about that myself, but that's a choice. Maybe someone out there is not as worried about the receivers as I might be.
Right.
But overall, I feel like it very much could be the kind of year where we're mad a lot during the season, but you get to December and it might just all be working. They do have a lot of talented players and they still have this quarterback. And so I'm not any more down on their chances than I have been any other year. But this year, the offseason, there's a little more ebb and flow to the day-to-day for me. Like I'm more up and down than I have been in other years, if I'm addressing the question appropriately.
Well, you did say just there, though, you're not any less optimistic.
No. Like I will bet them the same way I've bet them other years. I'll bet them to win the division. I'll bet them to win the Super Bowl. And I think
you'll win more if you're right.
It's all the more attractive if the odds are better. Like, they've been right near the top for maybe 3 years running now. Of those odds, so there's not a reason to not do it, but all the more if I think it's football. I don't think it's written anywhere that they can't beat the Chiefs or won't beat the Chiefs in January, or that someone else won't beat the Chiefs in January before they get to the Bills even. So I still feel pretty good about their chances, but there's just more there's more questions than there normally are. But in the end, I don't know. The questions are almost just killing time. Like, I think they'll be good. If I really need to tell you, like, if I run into you on the street at the Italian Fest tomorrow.
Oh.
And what do you think about the Bulls? I think they'll be good. That's it. I think they'll be good. You think they're going to win the Super Bowl? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Do you think they're going to win the Super Bowl? I wouldn't say no to that, but I also wouldn't go like, absolutely, because so much has to click into place.
Well,
but I think they'll be good.
I'll get to the next step of that. Just want to get in here to say that Tua got paid today. That's being reported. 4 years, $212.4 million extension for Tua in Miami. So we can talk about that, too. I'm sure we will. The Super Bowl point, you know, that's always hard because then you're dealing with one game situations. And, like, you know, even last year, a lot of these losses are just so close. How are you really supposed to know who's going to win those games? I mean, that's kind of a coin flip. But the right point there, I think, is back to what, and this has come up a lot, is can they get the bye? Because the team that gets the bye has such a big advantage. Baltimore didn't get there, so I know. And like the Rams-Bengals Super Bowl was 2-4 seeds. It's not like it always happens. But anybody can appreciate how much of an advantage that is. And this is where I'm not optimistic for the Bills, is getting the one.
Right.
Because I think the schedule is too hard, and I think Jets, Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens on their own schedule, Houston even as well. Like the other, not Cincinnati, but the other top AFC betting favorites are all on the Bills schedule. And, you know, in the case of the Jets and Dolphins, it's twice. So they'll do really well to win 12. I was asked on a podcast what I thought about over under 10.5. And I said under because I think maybe, I think 12 is probably the absolute ceiling for the Bills. And, you know, 11 is possible, 10 under wins, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if the Bills want to get to the Super Bowl, which of course they do, to do it, probably, this is true of any team maybe, but just to say it, like probably you have to win on the road. You have to win 3 games, unless you're the one, and then you can do it in 2.
You get to sit down and take a week off and not have your linebacking core get decimated by injuries.
I just think Kansas City, there's no sure bet in football, like you said, but they should be better than they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that division is not good. They could win all 6 of those games. Maybe one of those teams is interesting. I don't know. I'm not assuming it. But they're in a great position to just, you know, roll through the AFC West and kind of breeze to 12 wins, more mm-hmm. like that. Whereas the Bills, I think, will have a much harder time doing that. And that's not to ignore anybody else. So
yeah,
to make it, again, just kind of obvious, and maybe it would be said of any team, to make it, you probably have to win on the road. I mean, this team could do it.
Sure they could. Yeah, that's not a disqualifier. The going on the road, I've thought this, I think, for years, you know, as home field advantage has seemed to mean, and I think the stats back this up, like less and less over time here as we you know, move through the decades. The advantage of the one seed by miles to me is the week off. It's like double the value of being at home. I mean, I like being at home. It's comfortable and all that's routine and fine. I'd rather be at home than on the road, but getting the week off is the bigger thing. Obviously you get both if you get the one, but the draw to that is the appeal of that is the week off. So, you know, that and that's this year, that is different this year. I don't think any other year since they've ascended to this level, I don't think I was thinking about the one seed going into the 20 season when they sort of blasted off and Allen became this rock star monster that he is now. But 21, 22, 23, I was definitely thinking about the one seed. Get me the one seed. I got to be at home. I got to get the week off. I need the week off. This year, I'm not really thinking about that at all. They're not obviously disqualified from it, but it's just, to me, it's less realistic than it's been the last 3 years for mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. So if that ends up being true, then yeah, they will have their work cut out for them and they'll have to go on the road eventually. You know, we'll see where they come in if they do win the division. You know, they did that last year only with 11 wins and we're still the 2 seed because they had tiebreakers on, well, Miami for sweeping them and Kansas City for head-to-head win. So, you know, you can still achieve something by doing that and be at home for 2 weeks and then only have to go on the road for the title game. I'm shooting for that in my head, like, you know, just I think that's more realistic. But there's a lot of room between 2 and even 4, winning the division. So we'll see. The games against Baltimore and Kansas City and Miami and the Jets all play a huge part in that.
See about health, too. That's always big. The Bills learned that lesson. Teams do every year, how important it is to have your full complement by the time you get there. Bills were looking pretty good going into the wild card game, and then they had a couple of key losses, or Bernard, most of all, against the Steelers. So that was very costly. Again, Sal coming up, Theo Greminger as well. The report from Miami is that Tua Tagovailoa gets 4 years, 212.4. This slots him third in the NFL in per-year dollars, 53.1. I was listening this morning when Joe and Jeremy were talking about Tua and Dak Prescott. And they got to how they'd be scared of Prescott going to the Dolphins, like if the Dolphins cut bait. But one thing they also said was how Tua is on the field for practice, but he's not practicing the last couple days, which to me, like, that's happening more and more, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is always just like, we're on the brink of a contract. Like, that's Ayuk to me.
Well, I heard today on my way in that he was going to be participating today, and the first thing I thought was, I bet they got the contract done.
Yeah.
So here we are.
If you're not negotiating or you're not just close, you're not there. Or you're just playing through it. But this particular scenario says to me, like, you know, maybe it's just any minute. So they were talking about, like, if Prescott would end up playing for the Dolphins, like, if Dallas doesn't want him. And a point Prescott made, the number of quarterbacks that, like, he thinks of and looked up to that did change teams. And I don't know if I've thought about that very often, or I know I haven't. But that when you start to think about the names, they kind of all did.
Yeah.
You know, Brady and Manning maybe for starters on that. So
Favre, yeah.
Favre, twice. Three times, even, because, you know, Atlanta. But anyway, so Tua comes in third highest paid per year quarterback in the league now. And, you know, Bills fans are kind of, it's almost sort of a joke. Like, let's go, right?
I'm thrilled about this.
Let's go.
They could have. I would much rather he be their quarterback than Dak Prescott, to like circle back to what you said the guys were talking about this morning. That would worry me. Tua, look, they could win, and they could win the division and win it all if they put it all together. But I think their previous history tells you what their ceiling is. And I think this player is a very nice player in their system, that if you do anything to disrupt their system, you can take advantage of him and them. And I think that's been shown already over multiple seasons. And so, there are guys that are going to sign contracts with teams. You go, like, oh, man, I got to deal with this guy for the next 4 years or 5 years. That's not how I feel at all in Miami. Them wandering around lost looking for a new quarterback would be better than them having Tua. But I feel like Tua is going to put a ceiling on them that I don't have to worry about them as much. Again, I'm not assuming the Bills will just steamroll them. Tua's had, you know, a couple of decent games against the Bills, but I'm not scared of him and them when it really counts. And that's a tough place to be with a guy you're paying $53 million a year to. And I think a lot of fans around the league feel the same way about him. So I've said for months, I hope Miami marries him, because I think it will artificially limit them.
It's 4 years, not nine,
right?
By the way, but significant. Sal Capaccio coming up with his report, day three of Bills camp. It wasn't a perfect trip for Josh Allen and the offense today. It kind of sounded more like that the previous 2 days. Also, Theo Greminger, as I mentioned, player profiler with some fantasy stuff. If you've got a question for him, maybe you can get it to us at Shope Talk. I'll be looking, and maybe we can get to a couple of your questions for our fantasy football guest later. But Sal first, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, thanks for listening to WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.